It is the D.L. Hughley Show, your indictment update. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are in Schaumburg or Chicago, outside of Chicago, or close to the surrounding areas, I will be there this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Chicago, at the Schaumburg Improv. I love performing at the mall because after the show is over, you can get you a Cinnabon. That's always a treat for me.
Man. It's your calorie intake for the week, but it's great. It's great.
So, you know, I oftentimes... Here's the thing that I find funny. Like, people think they're insulting you when they go, "You on the Democratic plantation?" I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to obviously advocate for the team I believe the best in, right? I'm not getting paid, but I'm a rare person. I work for a black organization, right? Right?
Yep.
But I oftentimes found myself at odds with the way, you know, the common line of thinking is. So I've challenged people, but when it comes to how I feel about things, the only part I resent about being called what I am is that people infer I do it for money. I work, if you know me, you know I work every single day for money. And I work specifically so that if you guys decide I've done too much or they decide I have multiple revenue streams. I don't got to be paid to tell you what I think. I never have. I mean, I am paid to tell you what I think. So it doesn't necessarily behoove me to do anything other than what got me here, which is giving you my unvarnished perspective. I mean,
yeah,
that's just what it is. And I think it's no, listen, to me, maybe not to you, but a rape is a disqualifier. To me, fraud is a disqualifier. To me, fomenting insurrection is a disqualifier. His ineptness, even if I didn't care about any of that, he makes poor decisions. And they're always generally self-centered. The reason almost a million people died during COVID is because of his feckless ineptitude. This dude got COVID and was, I infected the entire state of Tennessee. But what I did is told people I had it. What he did, his only concern was not that where people were dying. His only concern was him and how it would affect him. And if you think that's the kind of leadership you want, then don't say I'm on the plantation. That's really stepping fetch an S when you go, "Oh, we sick, master?" That's what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's also a huge situation where you can see hypocrisy at its finest, because all of those things that you mentioned in any other situation, or if they involved anybody else, it would be a problem. When you talk about what happened on January 6th, right? People who are Trump supporters would say, well, this was them speaking out, saying what they had the right to do, and that is to protest what they consider to be wrong. However, when Black Lives Matter protesters were doing the exact same thing, they called it an atrocity. They thought, oh my God, we have to, you know, we have to shoot these people. We have to contain them. Not the same thing with this guy. All of the other situations involving any kind of violence, be it rape, be it lies, and obviously not paying taxes and all of these other things, all of those things for anybody else will get you in the slammer.
And they're all self-centered. He didn't do anything to make anything better for anybody else. The tax cut he gave, which is his crowning legislative achievement, he benefited from. He did.
Yep.
He benefited from it. All right, coming up this hour, we're going to be talking with super journalist, activist, ascot, and dashiki aficionado, the one and only Roland Martin. Plus, we got the Hughley Hustle Home Mix. We've got another Short Bus Records presentation, and Sybil Wilkes will give us what you need to know. That's coming up on the D.L. Hughley Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he's an author, he's an entrepreneur, he's a journalist, and he's a dancing machine. Put your hands together. A dancing golfing machine. Roland Martin, how you doing, young man?
What's up, Doc? How you doing, man?
I can't complain at all. So you wrote another book. You trying to catch me?
Hey, man. You know, alphas leave. We don't catch.
Wow. There we go. Well, it was a nice interview. See if an alpha interview you. See you later. Yeah, you guys are great in the library, but on the radio, it's the cues, damn it. I'm just saying. I don't want to... You wrote another book.
This has actually been a concept. I mean, I've been hitting with speaking on, man, since 2009. And it really started with the inauguration of Obama. That was a study that was released, and the question was asked, are you optimistic about the future of America for your children? And every group, Black, Latinos, Asians, a majority said yes. The only group that was under majority was white Americans.
Yeah.
Then, September 6, 2016, they asked the question, are you optimistic about the future of America economically for the next 10 years? Black people, lowest wealth, highest optimism. Latinos, second lowest wealth, second highest optimism. White people, highest wealth, lowest optimism. And so everything that we have seen since the inauguration of Obama is been a continuation of white fear, this fear that oh my God, they're taking over our country. I told John Avlon at CNN in 2009, I said, John, we're living in the beginning of white minority resistance. And that's all you've seen. The January.
It's Donald J. Trump, not Huey P. Newton. Huey Newton didn't have to. He didn't get to decide who his FBA antagonist was. He didn't get to go to a judge that he appointed. And this white grievance is amazing. But I can understand it. Imagine this, Roland. Imagine if you were in charge and you heard stories about being in charge, and all of a sudden you didn't get to do it. I could see. I would be mad too.
But here's the interesting. So Mitch Landrieu, former mayor of New Orleans, in the book that he wrote, he had a great line. He said, hey, white people, let me help y'all out. I've been known by people all my life. Trust me, they're not going to do to us what we did to them. Right. In fact, Pat Buchanan wrote a column years ago, and he literally said that was their fear. He said their fear was that the blacks are going to do to us what we did to them. Well, hell, that's an admission. What you did was wrong. But again, we saw what y'all.
But you got to admit, Roland. Yeah, now I don't think by and large they're gonna do, but a couple of white people gonna get it now. And it's gonna be a sacrificial lamb. It's gonna be somebody.
what you're dealing with is white fear is from the political power, the economic power. But here's the one I think that's most important: it's the redefining of America. Because look how many white people lose any mind over the 1619 Project. Oh my God, you're trying to rewrite? No, we ain't trying to rewrite. We're trying to actually speak what's true, because y'all have presented the fallacy of what America's always been. And so that's what I deal with. And I lay out that I need white people. I need y'all, conscious white people, to have conversations and deal with your cousins and your family members and your friends, because we cannot sit here and save all y'all. And I said to black people, we got to be on our game, because when we get close to 2043 and we are truly a nation majority of people of color, then we got to take advantage of the opportunity and not just sort of be in the position of a
I think yeah, two things I'll say to that. One is, we thank basketball players and football players for knocking off this white woman and knocking off these white women and giving us, you know, we're gonna get there a lot faster with them. But the other thing I will say is that I don't understand why white people are angry, because the Constitution, as with all men are created equal, if it was just for white people, they would not have had to put that in there. They wouldn't have had to say it. This is the living, breathing embodiment of the spirit of the Constitution is actually what's happening now. That all men, that you can be anything in America, that's happening now. They don't like it, but that's, well, that's it wasn't
that's
so monolithic.
Theoretical. Right. Because it's theoretical. Right. What did Dr. King say? Dr. King Alpha. What he said was, be true to what you put on paper.
Right.
He said, be true to what you put on paper. And that has always been the problem. They ain't being true to what they put on paper. And so now what they're looking at is, now they're like, well, hold up. Now it's not just theoretical. Can we go to parks? Can we swimming pools? Right. Now it's like, wait a minute, hold up. Y'all trying to be CEOs?
Yeah, I can tell you this. I'm not going to have your book in first class on a plane. I'm not going to have it white people like that. Getting my service messed up because an alpha want to write a book that terrifies white people.
Well, guess what? You more than likely become a black and Latino flight attendant.
Yeah. Hey, the book is White Fear. The man is Roland Martin. I'm telling you, man, your explanations, your unassailable explanations of things are really valuable. So I hope that to your point that some of the money they're spending not just goes to you to enrich you, but so that it gives people an accessible way to get the information and to kind of have a check and balance system. And so I really appreciate you for that, man. Thank you very much, Roland Martin, White Fear. Pick it up right now. It is time for What You Need to Know with the one and only Sybil Wilkes.
It's Sybil Wilkes with What You Need to Know. A black U.S. Air Force airman is dead after deputies apparently entered the wrong apartment. That's the charge, according to the attorney Ben Crump.
How this tragedy happened to Roger Fortson, who was an American patriot.
He was a role model.
23-year-old Roger Fortson was on a FaceTime call last week when he heard a loud knock at his door and retrieved his gun. Crump says deputies burst through the door and shot him 6 times after seeing he was armed. The woman on the call claims Fortson was not doing anything wrong, and it was apparent that deputies were in the wrong apartment. The Okaloosa County Sheriff says one deputy is on administrative leave while the investigation continues. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance is defending former President Donald Trump's comment calling out Jewish Americans who plan to vote for President Biden. During an appearance on CNN's State of the Union, Vance brushed off the criticism and suggested that voters should look at Trump's record on Israel. Trump is facing backlash over comments about Jewish Democrats, recently telling reporters that any Jewish person who voted for Biden should be ashamed of themselves. Vance, who's considered to be a potential running mate for Trump, told CNN nobody could look at the former president's conduct and say he's somehow anti-Semitic. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations are continuing at dozens of universities. Despite the arrest of over 3,000 protesters in the past few weeks, students around the country continue their demonstrations as commencement ceremonies took place over the weekend. At the University of Southern California, the valedictorian, whose canceled graduation speech spurred protests, received a standing ovation while graduating. At the University of California, Berkeley, protesters began chanting Free Palestine during commencement and were removed by security. To subscribe to my free daily newsletter, please visit SybilWilks.com. For all the news 24/7, go to NewsOne.com. I'm Sybil Wilks. Be informed. Be empowered.
Yeah, I know we support the sisters, but did she pay her bills?
She paid her money. That yeah.
I mean, we support her, but she needs to support us too. You dig what I'm saying?
She does, faithfully.
More of the D.L. Hughley Show is coming up in a few minutes. It's the D.L. Hughley Show.